This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to an episode of the 99 Names. I am your host, Bilal Khan, and I'm here with Ammar Shukri.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
This is the strange Kofi-less episode series.
Yes, it's like, where's Ammar? who's this dude?
With no hat.
Yeah.
People don't, you know, it's interesting. People don't even recognize me without it. Like, I'll be standing around in front of them. They'll be like, oh, Ammar. Like, I didn't even recognize you. So, and go over.
Well, the reason is because you've got the lowrider Kofi.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like.
So they only have memorized my face from the
eyebrows down. It's the same reason why people don't recognize Superman without his glasses.
Excellent. So let's go, inshallah. Our name is a beautiful name of the names of Allah, an absolutely beautiful name, and that is Al-Latif.
Al-Latif, okay.
Al-Latif. Now, Al-Latif comes from the word lutf. La-ta-fa. Lam-ta-fa.
Lutfa?
Lutf. Just lutf. The word lutf.
Okay.
And lutf, it means...
So lam-ta-fa.
Fa. Yeah. And so Al-Latif is the one, Lutf basically means gentleness, it means kindness, it means, it means gentleness and kindness. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called Al-Latif, it means the one who knows the most intricate benefits and goodness to a person and brings it to them in the most subtle of ways.
So he knows who a person is on the inside.
He knows who a person... I mean, there's a lot of layers to this name, so okay. We're going to go over them. But in general, Al-Latif is the one who knows how to bring the most delicate of benefits to you in the most subtle of ways.
All right.
And so when I was looking up this name, Al-Latif, all of the different books that I was reading, they all kept referring back to a single story in the Quran that really manifests Allah being Al-Latif. And it's a story that you're very familiar with. It's the story of Yusuf alayhi salam.
All right.
And so the idea here is that look at how, when you look at the story of Yusuf, you see Allah's bringing Yusuf so subtly to where he's eventually going to be. But every single step is, if you're looking on the outside, you don't see it happening. You don't see the next step coming.
No, you don't.
You don't.
I mean, when you're in it, you can't. It's hard to see what's up ahead.
Exactly. But just like, for example, they give the example and they say, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Yusuf come out of prison. But how did he make Yusuf come out of prison? He made the king see a dream. It doesn't get more subtle than that. It's not Jibreel coming and knocking down the door of the prison.
So is it the idea that God works in mysterious ways?
Exactly that.
Okay.
Exactly that. That it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in the most subtle of ways. And so that's why Al-Latif is generally translated as the subtle, but we're going to unlock a couple of different aspects of that. So the first meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Latif is the one who knows the intricacies of everything. He knows the subtleties of everything.
The nuances
of everything.
Okay.
You know the passing intention, the one that just flashed in your mind for a second before you said that word. Right? That just moment of anger or that moment of lust or that moment of whatever, it was just a fraction of a second. Allah.
He's aware of it. Okay.
Okay. So the one who knows the subtleties of things. And that's why in Surah Luqman, when Luqman is giving advice to his son and he says, Oh my son, if it is, you know, the size of a grain of sand and if it's everywhere in the heavens or the earth or whatever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth. And then he says, Inna Allah latifun khabir. Allah is latif. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how small it is, Allah is aware of it. So that first layer...
And khabir is like khabar, akhbar.
The one who's knowledgeable of it.
Knowledgeable, okay.
And so, yani, the latif is even the most intricate of things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of.
It's like, I don't know if it's the same in Arabic, but in Urdu, the newspaper or news...
Akhbar, the news, yeah.
Okay.
So the first is the one who knows the subtleties of everything. The second aspect or layer of Allah being Al-Latif is that He Himself is subtle.
Okay.
He Himself is not seen. He Himself, you don't see Him, you don't sense Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you see Him through His works or you see Him through His effects. And so in Surah Al-An'am, verse 103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدركه الأبصار وهو اللطيف الخبير. Again, Allah
what
says,
verse is this?
103, Surah Al-An'am. Allah says, sight does not encompass him, but he encompasses all sight.
Mm.
And he is al-latif, al-khabir. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in and of himself subtle. The third meaning of al-latif that we want to go over here is that he is the one who is the creator of subtle and sophisticated designs in all of creation.
Okay.
And so you just see the intricacy and the detail.
So we're talking everything about not only down to the atomic, but subatomic particle and particle physics level.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Quantum physics level.
Everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, just look at the detail of this world.
Yes, there is such a detail in that level. Wow, okay.
The third is Allah's, the fourth is Allah's goodness to his slaves.
Okay.
Allah's goodness to his slaves. And because of his goodness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 19, he says, Allahu latifun bi'ibadih. Allah is latif to whomever he wishes. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ هُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ. He gives to whomever he wishes. He provides for whomever he wishes. And he is al-latif and he is al-khabir. And so Allah, or he is al-qawi and he is the mighty.
Mm.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's so good to us, is that he leads us to goodness without us even knowing.
Okay. So he's so good that he leads us to it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. He leads us to it. And hence, you know, that we go back to the story of Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam is just being led from one stage to another, one stage to another. And this is really, you know, an activity to do. And I would love to actually see your comments, you know, commenting on your thoughts on the story of Yusuf. Where do you see Allah's guiding hand? Where do you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking Yusuf in an incredibly subtle way? So of the subtleties,
is there
for example,
a difference if you look in the story of Yusuf, is there a difference between the actions of people and Allah's guidance of that? Because there's certain many actions that people commit there that are not good actions.
But look, yes.
Okay.
But all of that is included in that.
Okay. So the idea of being thrown into the well, the idea of being sold into slavery, the idea of being...
him being thrown into the well as opposed to him being killed by his brothers, which was the first option.
Okay.
And so look at that. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them away from that. The older brother finally says, you know what? Don't kill him.
Yeah.
But throw him in the well.
Yeah.
And then the fact that the people who...
bought him.
No, the people who took him out of the well...
Yeah.
وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخَسٍ دَرَاهِمْ مَعْدُودًا وَكَانُ فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They didn't think that he was something that was worth anything, so they just sold him for a small amount. Absolutely
and
small amount.
And he was negotiated even further down.
And then you have the wife of Al-Aziz and how the lutf of Allah.
You know, it's interesting now you're talking about the whole idea, the whole scandal factor that took place, and even with the women, it's like that scandal had to take place in order for his nobility and trustworthiness to shine in the aftermath when he was exonerated.
How so? I'd love to hear that.
Okay, so if he was never imprisoned, he would have never met the dude that ended up working for the king.
Okay.
Right? And so, but at the same time, when he interpreted the king's dream, he was like, yo, I can definitely do this job. But now the thing is, you can't really get to a position or a role unless you have the qualifications for it. He had the qualifications because of Al-Aziz. He lived and he understood the entire process and he must have been trained, obviously, for that. But then the question that comes
I've heard a number of people say that, but I don't know that to be true, possibly, but this, I don't know where, but...
Because the Aziz was himself a minister.
Yeah, people are like, oh, he lived in the house of Al-Aziz, so he must have had training in politics.
No, you don't have to have training.
Okay.
Right? Like the idea of observance and how things work.
Okay.
It's like the idea of a photographer. The photographer's
son... But that's assuming that he had that level of proximity and access to the Aziz while living with him.
I mean, he had enough proximity for the for him to be close enough for the
wife of Al-Aziz to want to seduce him. Okay.
Yeah. So, coupled with the fact that he was, I mean, these are things that one can infer.
Okay.
Right. And so, but then the issue is, okay, one might be qualified, but are they trustworthy? Right. So, like, what's their reputation like? And so, then that's where, like, how else would that come to light? Except that people are like, yeah, no, sorry, he's totally cool, right? He's a good dude. whatever came down.
So you're saying even the scandal's existence is to indicate how much integrity Yusuf has.
Yes.
Okay.
At least that's what I get from it.
I mean, definitely the fact that Yusuf alayhi salam, when the king wanted him out and wanted him exonerated in the first place, and Yusuf says, no, I'm not leaving
until
my name is cleared.
Yeah.
Is indicative of just an absolutely incredible integrity.
And what's interesting is the commentary of Rasulullah on the story? It was like, hey, if they told me to get out, I would
have gone. Yeah, the Prophet in Bukhari, he says, you know, if I was asked, I would have responded to the da'i. I would have just got out of
prison. And what's interesting is they say that particular comment is fiqh for the allowance of taking a plea bargain.
Yeah, if a person is not guilty, for example, of something, and then, I mean, they just find themselves in court facing some insurmountable charge.
Yeah.
And the judge basically just says to them, you know what, or the court says to them, you know, take 2 years, for example, you'll be guilty. But if you go to trial, you'll face life.
Right.
You'll face...
For whatever reason, right?
For whatever reason.
Although you didn't do the crime.
Is it haram for you then to basically say that you did a crime just to get yourself out? No, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here says, you know, I would have taken up the offer of the king and I would have just walked out. But Yusuf alayhi salam, he went the hard road. Yeah. I'll take this back to court.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to clear my name.
Yeah.
And so they did that. And Yusuf alayhi salam, in the conclusion of the story, when his family prostrates to him, and this is one of the reasons why they keep saying, you know what, this keeps going back to the story of Yusuf. The story of Yusuf has so much of the manifestation of this name of Allah, Al-Latif. He says, oh, my father, this is the ta'wil. He says, this is the ta'wil. This is the manifestation of the dream that I had.
Okay.
And my Lord has been good to me when he brought me out of prison and brought you out of al-Badu, have brought you out of the desert, because they had a famine and they had drought.
Were they considered Bedouins?
No, they're not considered Bedouins. But
why did they say they brought them out of Badu?
Just that particular area.
The outskirts.
The outskirts, wherever they were at.
Okay.
And then he says, "Inna Rabbi latifun lima yasha."
Okay.
My Lord is latif for whoever he wishes. So that's the concluding name that the story of Yusuf concludes with. And that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle and gentle. And look at how Allah brought us all together throughout this journey. Right? And so some of the manifestations, again, is knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a latif. You yourself, you know, we all experience bad things in our lives. We all experience it. That's the human experience. But to recognize that Allah is latif is to see that beyond this bad thing, this whatever difficulty that you're experiencing. I mean, if you were to look at the different stages of Yusuf's life, I mean, when you have a guy who's in prison,
yeah.
I mean, do you ever look at this person and say, oh my, this guy is destined for greatness? You never look at that.
No.
You know? But Yusuf alayhi salam is being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is taking you and I somewhere. You have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is latif. Allah will see you through.
You know,
there is goodness behind every step, whether you see it or not.
It just reminds me, even in today's day and age, if somebody was an ex-con, whether or not they actually committed a crime, you think they could ever run for government office?
No. They can't even vote.
No, those are felons.
Okay.
Is a convict and a felon the same thing?
I don't know.
Because a convict is somebody who's been convicted of a crime, not necessarily a felony.
So you're talking about a misdemeanor? I mean, it's either misdemeanors or felonies.
Right. Wait. They can't vote. They're really like slaves.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like you go to jail.
Yeah.
You have to come out and you have to be an active member in society again, get yourself life together.
Yeah.
But everyone's doing background checks on you.
Mm.
You can't get out of the environment that you were in. And you can't even vote to change these policies.
Systems that are in place.
Exactly.
So really, these people need their own champions.
And so then they go back to jail because...
it's self-perpetuating.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that depressing note, we conclude the name Al-Latif. But even for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif. There is hidden goodness behind everything. And so that's really This is one of the beautiful names. And this is a name that people call out to a lot. And many people call out to it wrong, actually.
Okay.
They just simply say, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif, Ya Latif.
Okay.
And something that we learn when we study the
name. It almost seems like they're calling, like whenever I've heard it being used, it seems as though they're calling out to him in desperation.
That's fine. Okay. And that's great. You call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in desperation, but we don't call out to Allah by simply repeating his name.
Okay.
We don't say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, what? Ya okay. Latif, what? And so, Ya
the
Latif.
The etiquette of actually reaching out.
Yeah, you have to ask Allah with a complete sentence. Mm. You don't simply just repeat a name 1,000 times or 2,000 times. It's not what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did.
Mm.
You call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Latif, do this for me. Ya Latif, be gentle with me. Ya Latif, make this easy for me. That is how you call it. Yes.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're just calling out a name.
Okay.
And then if I were to just call you and say, Bilal, 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 you'd say, what? What do you want?
Is that Family Guy clip with the short guy? That mom, 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 mom.
Yeah, exactly. Kids do that all the time.
Okay.
Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa ala alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, kathira.